Dr. Rebecca Malope is my guest. She joins me now. She is a 36 chart-breaking album over 33 years. She joins me now on the show. By the way, I'm not going to hoard her. You can join me as we have a discussion about her life and times. Osrips, good evening to you. It is an absolute, absolute honor for me to have you on my show. I don't know how long this has been taking place, but finally my producers have tracked you down. Thank you so, so much for joining me on the show this evening. Are you well?
I'm well, Aubrey. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you so much. I'm very well and very well. And hi to everybody at home.
Sis Ribs. Yeah. You know, I've just talked about all of the accolades that you have been able to collect over the years, a career that has spanned over three decades, 36 chart-breaking albums. You are the recipient very recently, and by the way, a very, very beautiful congratulations as far as that is concerned.
Thank
the
you.
Order of Ikhamanga in Silver.
Yeah.
Uncle Siam.
To God be the glory.
You have been conferred with the honor of being an honorary doctor for the University of Natal. All of these are well deserved. How do you feel about this, Sis Rips?
I just see the hand of God,
yeah.
You know, and I'm really humbled, and I see the love, and I'm really humbled, and thank you so much to South Africa and everybody that just bought that CD and buy that ticket to my concert, and that's what made me to be where I am today.
Mm.
And thank you very much for the support. Really, I'm really humbled. To God be the glory.
Do you ever sit down and reflect on what you mean to South Africans, to gospel lovers across the continent and across the world? I mean, I know that you've got fans all the way from here to Belgium, Rome, Ghana, everywhere there is a Rebecca Malope fan. Has it ever dawned on you what you mean to the world at this moment in time? And understand what I mean by this moment in time, Sis Rips. We are in a situation where we are dealing with COVID-19, where we are dealing with issues of economic downturns. People are losing jobs left, right, and center.
Mm.
People are dying. People have no hope. Have you stopped to think what Rebecca Malope means to this particular context?
You know, sometimes when I think about it, it scares me also. It's quite a responsibility. You know, you mean hope to a lot of people. You mean to some you are a comforter, to some you are. It's quite a responsibility. Sometimes I do sit down and think about it. It's a responsibility.
I'm going to tell you, people on Twitter already saying, hey, Brobs, wangenya moyeng on a Friday night. Moya wam. Ola lelu Jesu ka.
Hallelujah.
Come on now. And then, of course, Black Don't Cry says, oh, Brobs, wang vuselele moyeni. Wami bagit. It's beautiful stuff. Let me tell you, Sis Rips, ne? It's not just your singing that has been an inspiration to people. It's your life story. How, as a young girl, as a young child, you were confined to a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And the battle that you had to, the internal battle, not only just the physical battle, but the internal, spiritual, psychological battle you had to go through as you grew up in that little township near the Kruger National Park. Tell me about that moment of your life when you were a child. Where were you born, and how did you land up in that wheelchair?
Well, it's a story of I come from a very abusive family. You know, I've been talking about it for quite a while, and I think it's quite a big story, man. You know, sometimes I don't want to go back to.
Sure.
I feel like it will be fine when I feel good.
Yeah.
And to release that book.
Yeah.
And then people will learn.
Oh, we've got a book coming up.
Yes. Beautiful. So I've been talking about the book. There's so much to the book.
Sure.
That's why I'm taking my time.
Yeah.
And when the time is right, I will release that book.
Sure. And by the way, Sis Rips, we are here to celebrate you this evening. So if there's any particular topic or aspect of the conversation that you're uncomfortable with, please let's let it go. Huh?
I will definitely.
Yeah. Tonight, we just want to celebrate you. We want to thank you for the for the commitment to music and to spiritual music, most specifically, that you've made in this life. But then you move with your sister. At a certain point in time, and you go to Everton, you were hiking. Tell me about what happened prior to that. Just before that, you were already singing in church. You were already a performer. Tell me about the moment just before you left. What was that? What did you?
I was working at the tobacco farm.
Okay.
Yes, I was working at the tobacco farm. I was 11 years old. And then when I was 13, my sister came pick me up. Then we went to MLO, from MLO to Johannesburg when I was 14. Then since I was in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
And then we tried, entered the Sherodu fame.
I remember all of that with the Chico Hester. Yes. But tell me, so you were working at a tobacco farm?
At a tobacco farm, yes.
Tell me about that.
No, we were working there, you know, Slima, you know.
Yes, we were
we put them
in the bags.
In the bags.
So you were a laborer in this particular farm?
Yes, at the age of 11.
Wow. And part of the work that you were doing, I just want to translate for those people among us, that you were planting, you were harvesting, you were just basically doing the labor, putting them into the sacks and so forth. And even in that environment, you were already singing?
Yeah, I would sing, you know, singing was in me because, you know, we grew up like that.
Yes.
You cry your pain away by singing. You know. When you feel sad, you can sit in that corner. Then something, a song will come out to you. Just cry it out away. You're singing that melody and then,
A lot of people say.
Music was like that. Yeah.
A lot of people say that that is why so many South Africans and so many people across the world have resonated with your music, because your music didn't come just from the brain, from the mind. It's music that came from the heart.
Yes.
It's music that came from the hard experiences, particularly of black people in the farms, specifically where...
Yes.
And that is why a lot of...
In the morning you wake up and then there's a school temper going, "Why did you miss an answer?"
Oh, my.
So, you know... Yeah, I know those times.
So Sis Rebecca has just said something that she speaks about how they would wake up in the morning and go and have to work in the farm, and they would be chased by I suppose their slave masters on a motorbike, and they would be whipping them in order to. But then you laugh, Sis Rebecca.
No.
Is that how you've
just
been?
Need to laugh.
Is that how you were dealing with that moment, that time?
Yeah,
of
I think so. I think laughter gives me more joy.
Yes. You know, there's a generation of South Africans that have no understanding of the fact that you can laugh about something so deeply painful and humiliating, especially our young people that don't know anything perhaps about, no, I'm talking about experientially. They might have read books about it. They might have heard their parents and older generations like yourself speak about that moment in South Africa's time where you literally lived like slaves. In fact, you were slaves. You were working on a farm. You were 11 years old. You'd have to be woken up in the early morning hours, and you were chased by a slave master on a motorbike. And that you can still laugh about it. Where does that strength come from, Sis Rips? the ability to, and I'm not just talking about you as an individual, but that generation of South Africans that went before us, where does that strength come from?
I don't know, maybe, but I don't think it comes from because of we know better. I think it comes from the Lord and understanding where you come from and the struggles you've been through and know where God has brought you from until this far. You know, if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be alive. You would be dead by now, you know. And then, but the hand of God in your life, that's what you see.
I don't know if you ever listened to an interview with a lady who is very similar to you in the United States by the name of Mahalia Jackson. I don't know if you've ever come across that name, Mahalia Jackson.
Yes, I know Mahalia.
She used to sing that song, "I Found the Answer, I've Learned to Pray." And in an interview with somebody like me interviewing her, somebody like you, she said exactly what you've just said now. Exactly what you've just said now, that the reason why you can look back to that moment of slavery and even laugh is because God's hand was upon you and he played a joke on the devil. That God was able to raise you up when people thought that you would be stomped down into the grass. In fact, somebody then took that conversation and said, they tried to bury us, but they didn't know that we were seeds. And your life reminds me of that particular interview with Mahalia Jackson, who is also a huge gospel singer in the United States many years ago. She's passed on now. And my question is, did you know at that time that you had a connection spiritually with God? At that time, did you know?
I think after I knew I could walk, I knew there's something, there's a miracle and something. What happened now, you know?
Yeah.
There is God.
Yeah.
That God that my mother used to call all the time. He's alive somehow. In my heart, I wanted to thank him and tell the world about him.
And that was part of the singing that you would sing with your sister, your mom?
Yes.
Would that be about those songs? Amakorase sontweni and so forth?
Amakorase sontweni and so forth.
Oh, lunjengolwandle bo. Lupanzi luthulile.
Luthulile.
Ah, sisrit. So tell me about the day that your sister comes to you and says, hey, we're going now. We're going to hike all the way from... is it Legazi? The township where you were living?
Yeah. I think I was scared at first because there, at work, I had a place to stay. You know, a Komponi lapa, you know, at the hostel yakona. Nambing fell upon room number 10.
So Sis Rips is explaining that she used to stay in a little camp, in a little compound. And she stayed in a room called number 10. Now, if you don't know anything about the conditions of what we call Nkomponi, Brahuma Sikela sings about it when he sings Istimela Sihamba Ngamalahle, and he talks about Nkomponi. It was prison conditions, Sis Rebecca.
Yeah, no, we were working there, so we had our rooms there, our hostel, we stayed there, all of us, the workers, you know.
Parents, children, everybody.
Yeah, adults, young children, all working there. But mostly children, you know.
Yeah. And your sister comes to you. Was it in the morning? And
it was. I was scared because I didn't have a place to stay.
Yes.
There at work, I have a place. And where are you taking me to?
Yeah.
No.
But what was her proposal? I mean, what did she come to say to you?
No. You must stop working here. We're going to Johannesburg now. We're going to sing.
Did you know what Johannesburg was at that young age?
Not really.
So you see, you know what's going on in my mind, Sis Rips?
Yeah.
Here you are. You've been working at a farm as a cotton, not a cotton picker, as a tobacco leaf picker in your young life. Probably didn't know that there is even a Johannesburg. And if you knew what a Johannesburg was, you didn't really know because you've never been there. I'm trying to think, what was the imagination you had of where you were going? And what was your sister saying to you at that young age? You had already, I mean, the conditions were not nice.
She's saying we're going to sing, and I love singing.
Sure.
Yeah, and I love singing. I sing everywhere, especially when I see people, I start singing.
Wow.
So that somebody can say, you sing beautiful.
And you weren't earning money at the time, yeah?
At the farm?
Yeah.
You mean where?
When were you earning money? I mean, did you get any money when you saw people and you sang? You loved to sing. Was there any reward,
really,
monetary?
I would just sing and pass, but just somebody saying, ooh, then I would be happy. You know, yeah. So my sister came, then I went with her to Emelo for a year. Then the second year we came to Johannesburg.
And all the time you were living through just singing and...
Yeah, we're living through, we didn't have any income for quite a while.
Yeah.
No, it was not easy, yeah.
I can imagine. And then in 1985, at least that's when I started to hear this name, Rebecca Malope. In 1985, those were the days when we still had Shell Road to Fame. You remember?
Yes.
But in 1985, that's the year that you went for your first attempt at the Shell Road.
I didn't win the competition. I lost.
Ah, Uncle, yeah. but you were with a band at the time, ne?
Yes, we're singing a Bakara song, you know. I don't even remember the words, you know, the meaning of that song today. I really don't know what's the meaning of that song until today.
But the rhythms were nice. I suppose that's a consolation, that the rhythms were nice.
You know, and we sang that song. And it was not a nice song, I think, so that's why we lost.
My guest is Dr. Rebecca Malu.
We thought it was a hit song.
Yeah.
You know, but...
And you lost. 1985, you lost. Yes. How old were you then at the time?
I was 17.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you meet a guy by the name of... I think it was a great producer.
Zizako.
And I know that he was a big part of your development. Tell us about that story.
Yeah, we met at the Shell Road to Fame 1985. Then he was a judge.
Yes.
He came to us. He told us, no, the song, man, it didn't really showcase my talent.
Yes.
But you could pick up that there's something there.
Yeah.
And then he promised to write me a song. Then I can come back for Shell Road to Fame again the next year.
Brasizwe is a big part of your development. I mean, every time you speak, I always hear, whenever you talk about your development as a musician, the opportunities that you got, you never fail to mention Brasizwe and how, for example, in 1985 at Shell Road to Fame was able to see the talent in you, even though others might not have seen it. What do you think he saw?
I don't know, maybe... I don't know, but he saw something.
Mm.
Yes.
Did you ever have...
And then he managed to maybe to read my voice and be able to write the type of music that suits the type of voice that I have.
Yeah. Did he ever have conversations with you and the band, I suppose, to... I remember it was Pure Magic, ne?
Pure Magic was Cesar Zako and his group.
Okay.
Then I joined them.
Ah.
Yeah, then it became Rebecca and Pure Magic.
Nice. When you were having those conversations, and I can imagine that he had to sort of simplify his conversation to be able to be understood by a 17-year-old, right? What was he saying about your voice, the kinds of music that you were singing at that time before you entered into Cheryl Road to fame in 1987, because I think that's when we started to hear about you, because that's when you won.
And what he did actually was, every time he'll buy me a CD of any artist, like, let's say, Anita Baker.
Yeah.
Aretha Franklin.
Yes.
Tracy Chapman. And he would bring them and say, hey, man, Sisi, every time I have to learn songs and get to know these songs, then we will perform these songs. You know, that's how I think he groomed me. To sharpen my voice.
Yes.
It that helped a lot.
He was a genius. I mean, that's genius. Sisi Ribs, to be able to wake your mind up as a 17-year-old who perhaps didn't have as much experience in music, yes, and to be able to wake you up to, I suppose, the tones and the sounds of greats such as Aretha Franklin, Anita Baker, yes. Yes. Tracy Chapman. But he was also saying to you, if I understand you correctly, that you are at that same level?
Not really, because people loved those songs that during that time.
Mm.
And we didn't have so many hit songs. You know, we will have maybe two hit songs. Then and on stage we have to perform maybe for 45 an hour. We need more songs.
Yes.
So definitely we'll imitate all these hit songs that people love.
Yes.
Then we sing them.
What was your favorite song by Aretha Franklin or Anita Baker or Tracy Chapman?
Mountains of Things, Tracy Chapman.
Yes.
Anita Baker, I love almost all of them.
Yeah.
I love Anita Baker, the beautiful music.
Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Yes.
I can hear you singing that song. I can hear Rebecca Malope singing Sometimes You Win, Sometimes You Lose.
Those days. No.
Oh, Sis Ribs.
But then, you know, the greatest night, you know. We used to listen to those a lot.
You see, I think what Brasizwe recognized.
Mm.
And I say this in hindsight as somebody younger than you who's been following your music for years, who's been inspired, who's been lifted up in many dark times by your music, Sis Ribs, is that he recognized a weeping in your voice. Yeah? When you sing, it's almost, even when you sing joyful songs, there's almost a sadness at the back of the song. There's a tone that has a little bit of sadness, but that sadness isn't a sadness that keeps you sad. It's a sadness that gives you hope. And all of those singers, Bo Tracy Chapman, Bo Aretha Franklin, Anita Baker, they've all got that tonality in their voices. Mm. And I think that Brasizwe recognize that in your voice, even when it was still raw. I think he recognized that in your voice.
I actually was running away from that to say, I think he felt something in my voice that was soulful about my voice.
That's the word. That's
touching.
The word. Yeah.
There's a sad part that there's a cry somewhere there.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe that's how I relieve my pain. He noticed that,
this
type of music moves her this way and stuff.
And it's the same tone that you hear in a lot of the American black people's spiritual music. The music that gave us the Bo Mahalia Jackson. It's the same sort of thing that gave us jazz later on.
Yes.
It's a way of expression that most Africans will recognize anywhere in the world, and I think that it is one of the biggest contributions that Africans have given to the world. It's that sound, that wailing sound at the end of your voice.
Yes.
Do you think that that's probably why you've received some of these accolades, doctorate, the order of Ikamang?
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! I don't know.
But I'll tell you now, Sis Ripsne.
Yeah.
I think that you as the voice, right, as the instrument in the hand of God, you might not appreciate what observers appreciate sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I think that these accolades are as a result of people understanding that you yielded yourself, you surrendered yourself to being used.
Yes.
And in being used that way, you were then able to help those of us who found ourselves in times of darkness with your voice.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I started off by asking the question.
Mm-hmm.
Does Rebecca Malope understand what she has meant to the world with the music that she has been contributing?
It's quite a very difficult question to answer. That's why I said to you earlier, it's a big responsibility.
Wonganjinga on Twitter says, during life's blackest hours, take solace in the face that you are strengthening yourself through struggle so that in the future you will be prepared to take on ever greater challenges. Like the old oak tree, you grow strong only when you are forced to struggle. And that is a quote that he's sending to you by Napoleon Hill, Sis Rips. Right?
So, amen.
So 2 years go past. After let's call it your failure to win
okay.
in 1985, yes. I don't want to call it losing. One of our politicians has taught us how to phrase losing. He says it's failure to win. But then in 1987, you go back to Shell Row to fame.
Shell Row to fame, yes.
How were you convinced to go back there? Didn't the fear to go back and perhaps lose again make you not want to go back?
I had hope because now Cesar was around and he wrote a song and I was practicing this song.
Yeah.
Shine On, it's a gospel song.
Yes.
Shine On, as a little political gospel song.
Yes.
You know, and then I practiced that song at 86. 87, we entered the Shelter to Fame.
Yes.
Yes.
How was
tried this song, performing this song in nightclubs.
Yes.
And people loved it.
Yes.
Yeah. That's where Tembeligu also came.
Yes.
A gospel song also. You know, so we started like that.
But of course, there was Binanzo Batola. Remember?
Batola came after.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Because at that time there was a group of artists that represented what we called bubblegum music at that time. Yes. Remember? Bo Osprenda, Messi Pakela, Yvonne Chaka Chaka, and so forth. And there were just very few of you at the time that were at the top of your game at the time. Is that where you wanted to be? Because ultimately you didn't end up in the pop bubblegum sort of genre. You moved into gospel. But was that where you wanted to be?
Yes, from the beginning, I wanted to sing gospel. I knew that singing gospel makes me feel better and makes me be able to express myself better than singing bubblegum music.
Yeah.
But because the record label wanted us to do bubblegum music, they rejected our gospel.
Yeah.
Then we went back and do Uzobatola Vangi Pari Machimeli.
Machimen, I remember Machimen.
Yeah. For Saturday night, you know, all of those songs.
Yeah.
But we made sure we had a 1-2 gospel song.
Yeah.
in the album. Yeah.
Dr. Manasseh says on Twitter, "Hi, bro, Aubrey. Congratulations to Sister Rebecca. Her testimony is such a touching and great inspiration. I love her gospel music." Abraham Manasseh from Los Angeles in California. Dr. Edmund Lopez. He's listening to you right now, even as we speak. Isn't technology beautiful? Right now, I don't know. Me, I'm here in Johannesburg, and somebody in America is listening to you. It's beautiful, man. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful, man. Hi in America there.
And then your career started to really take off in as far as gospel music is concerned. What happened, Sis Rips, to make you decide as an artist that you were going to turn your back on bubblegum pop music and really focus? And by the way, at that time, gospel music was, music was, it didn't really matter. People didn't like it. But then it was
people clap and tap.
But what made you? What made you decide that I'm going for it? I'm actually going to go into this genre. Did you know that it was going to be this big?
Every time when I was on stage singing my bubblegum music,
yes,
and Stembelebuwe,
yes,
and Shine On. People, when it comes to Stembelebuwe and Shine On, and myself, the way I feel now, it's different. Even the audience reacts different. And that's where I wanted to be. Even my fans wanted me to sing gospel now. Please do more gospel. Your songs really make us feel better.
Yeah, Emma Passin, Emma Texin, Emma Training, Sis Rips, man.
Yeah.
We were singing Rebecca Malope's gospel music everywhere. I mean, even Abafundis had decided, who had not wanted to be playing music and a guitar, were playing your music in their churches, man.
Yes. Till today, they still do.
And was there at some point there was then a change also in the way that you performed? It was almost as if in the beginning it was a performance, now it was your life. Do you understand what I'm trying to mean? There was a moment where there was a change in the way that Rebecca Malope was performing. As a performer, and then she became an instrument of a particular cause. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say, because there was a very, very clear distinction where you changed, even your dress, your performance changed completely. What happened at that moment?
You mean when I changed to gospel?
Yes.
Because with disco, we would put on mini skirts, angiti.
Yeah.
Manji, you know, with dancing stance, ulalapa, you know.
Yes.
That's the way we dressed at that time, because it suits the type of music that we do, you know. And then with gospel, it's a different story. Now you present yourself in that manner that will show respect to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And to yourself too. You know, self-respect first. You know, you don't go around exposing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to be to carry yourself with dignity.
Well, but was that a decision that you made yourself? Mm-hmm. Inspired by your faith, or was that a marketing decision by marketing people who said, "Hey, Rebecca, now you are singing gospel now. You can't wear mini skirts and
she's
amati." What was that, something that came from your inner self and your own conviction?
No, it came to me. It came from me.
Okay.
That now I need to represent God this way. This is how God should be represented.
And then
we put mini skates and it's like how our para we respect God, he's higher,
So it appears to me that it was no longer just a performance. It was no longer just the showcasing of your beautiful voice and your ability to sing. It looks like it was a spiritual conviction that you had taken on, the modesty in the way that you dressed, and so forth. So really, the music played a role in your conversion to becoming a committed Christian?
It did play a very big role, because now it gave me the room, or the space to go through my healing process through my music.
Because I think a lot of us who were following your music then saw that thing, that something has changed here. Aisali ribsola or jaiva ole. It's a different kind of ribs. And I think that the decision to go that route made you more believable, I suppose, with many of your audience?
What do you mean by that?
In other words, it wasn't just us going to a concert.
Yeah.
When people went to a Rebecca Malope concert, it was almost like going to church. It wasn't just look groovy, you know. It was there was a certain level of respect that you entered that hall with, that perhaps was not there prior. And I've always asked myself, was that a marketing decision, or was that something that was genuinely a conversion in Rebecca Malope?
When I go to a concert, I know it's not just a concert. It's we're dealing with souls here. Somebody's traveled somewhere, saying, you know what, I'm so hurt, but if I could just go to that gospel concert by Rebecca Malope, I'll be better. That my aim is to feel better myself, you know, and make you feel better about you, and be able to see the light, you know, and see what you God loves you more, you know, you're not a mistake. You are very important to God. So it's all about all of us. It's about us. Getting that spiritual healing together.
Yeah. Hi, yeah. Aubrey. Congratulations to Sister Rebecca. Okay, no. This I've just read this one. This one also coming from the United States. You've got a lot of people listening to you from the United States. Carolyn from Connecticut says, hi from Connecticut, USA. I am loving the conversation out in Connecticut, United States. Sister Ribs, which country other than us here in South Africa do you enjoy the most in how they enjoy and appreciate your music?
Wow. Okay, it's almost many African countries.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you come to a place where when you're just at the airport, you know, like some everybody, like nobody's in their houses anymore. It's like, they treat you like differently.
Yeah.
Very different. It's another feeling on its own. You know, it's quite it's quite big.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get shocked yourself. Oh my God, so many people. you don't get used to it. You just don't get used to it. You just don't get used to it. When you see that, you get nervous sometimes.
Sure.
You just don't get used to it.
Sis Rips, one of the things that has been a hallmark of Rebecca Malope has been her humility. You've always come across as somebody who doesn't see herself as the best thing since sliced bread, regardless of the fact that you've won every single conceivable accolade known to artists here in South Africa. There's no accolade that you have not won. What has kept you grounded? What is it that has kept you And by the way, I'm saying this because I see some of the arrogance amongst gospel singers. So it's not just the fact that you're singing gospel. What is it? I know you know what I mean. I know you know what I mean. What has kept you grounded?
Okay. Knowing again where I come from and knowing very well that is not by my might that things have turned this way. So whoever the Lord God that gave me this chance of life, I need to respect and humble myself before this.
Sis Rips, my final question to you as I'm going to say goodbye. And by the way, I've got to tell you, this is probably one of my greatest highlights as a broadcaster to have spoken to Dr. Rebecca Malope. I thank you once again for agreeing to talk to me. What is the one thing that you still desire in your life?
Okay. The one thing that I still desire in my life. Okay. What do you mean? Okay.
The one thing that you want. You are a doctor, Rebecca Mal. Yes.
That I desire to do is to do my musical, my life in theaters.
Wow.
My life story. We did it before. We were supposed to perform the musical at the State Theatre before the lockdown, the first lockdown, the corona came in. So we cancelled everything.
Yes.
It's a beautiful story with my music in it. And then the actors and the dancers and the singers, the music, it's amazing. So I still want to do and let the young ones perform my story, you know, in theater.
Yes.
While I'm still alive.
Yes.
So that I can correct where they go wrong.
Yes.
While I'm still alive. Not somebody that will come tomorrow and write a script that is not there.
Yes. Well, I mean, I'm sure that you are going to get a lot of people that are dying to help you with your memoir. I'm looking forward to the day that you produce. And by the way, I want to book you for that interview when that book comes out, because I'd like to talk to you about it. I think that your life has been very educational to many of us who come from specific backgrounds. I want to thank you for your resilience, Sis Rips. I want to thank you for your humility, and I want to thank you for your love of your craft, because it comes out very strongly. It continues to come out very strongly. And I want to congratulate you for all of the accolades that you've recently gotten, including the Order of Ikamanga in silver. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, my brother. And God bless you and everybody. Thank you. Thank you. May God bless you and continue to bless you. Thank you so much.
Dr. Rebecca Malope.